And the assistant pastor, Ernie Amarat, will be preaching tonight, but the reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
So, if you open your Bible with me again on 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Adding in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to praise you and thank you and live according to this great inheritance, and not to show to the world that despite our lack in our physical needs, help us not to be sad, as if sometimes, O Lord, when we are faced with a lot of problems and trials in life, we look as if there is hopelessness. We forget our great inheritance. So, Lord, as we read thy word, help us to be enriched through this great richness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, if we don't live, and remind ourselves how rich we are through this great inheritance that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In our text this evening in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, the beloved apostle showed the persecuted Christians how to look past their troubles to their great eternal inheritance. Our life in Christ is righteousness given to us, the joy and peace and the perfection that is undertaking for our behalf in sanctification, God's presence on a daily basis, Christ's glorious companionship and rewards, and all else God has planned is the Christian's heavenly inheritance. According to Ephesians 1:14, if you're going to open to that verse, Ephesians 1:14, it says that the indwelling Holy Spirit is the resident guarantee of that inheritance, which we will read. I think it's better to read it in verse 13 as well, because the context is there. In whom we have trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which, in verse 14, is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The word imperishable in verse 3 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter in that verse 4 to an inheritance incorruptible, or in other words, imperishable, it refers to the inheritance that is not subject to passing away, not liable to an element of decay. The word used in secular Greek, it means it is used of something that was unravaged or cannot be destroyed by an invading army, which we read about it in Matthew 6, 19 to 21, read by Pastor Mark. This word means unpolluted, unstained with evil, the undefiled inheritance of the Christian is in marked contrast to the earthly inheritance. The word unfading, in contrast to faded not away, was often used of flowers that withered and decay, though earthly inheritance eventually fade away. The eternal inheritance of a Christian has no decaying elements. When God saved each one of us and granted you, each one of us, an eternal inheritance, it wasn't because you were special or more deserving of his love of his love and grace than others. It was because he sovereignly chose you, or chosen you, to love you in his predetermined counsel of his word, that he loved us to the uttermost, and to extend his great mercy to each one of us. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Even Titus 3, 5 mentioned that he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. So it's all grace and mercy that we are saved, not of our good works. It is the gift of man, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So for our encouragement and deepening enrichment of our soul, let's review this great inheritance that are there for us in the word of the Apostle Peter. First, let's review in our mind every dimension of life, whether physical or spiritual, is a testimony to God's mercy. Because of his great mercy, God addresses the pitiful condition of mankind and regenerate people, or those who are willfully doing against the will of God in wicked deeds, in lifestyle, and in words, and in all, even in their inner behavior, they are declaring war against God. They do whatever God has normally created us according to his image, and now they undo away this moral order of God in our society, even in our own family. those people who are calling themselves member of LGBT, they are the people who declares openly a war against God, because they don't want to deform their bodies. They want to say to the people that we don't need you, God. We are God ourselves. We can do what we want. So these are unregenerate people who are totally depraved, dead in trespasses, enslaved to sin, cursed to eternal damnation, unable to help themselves, and in desperate need of someone to show them mercy and compassion. That is the good news of the gospel. God loves sinners and extends his mercy to anyone willing to trust him. That's why even those preachers who were sent there to preach are an extension of God's mercy to these people. And yet, they fail to listen. And they try to show to the world, we are winning the battle. We are the winning of our cause, which is the most wicked war they do against our God and against the moral order of our society. Mercy tempers God's justice. You are familiar with the Puritan writer Thomas Watson when he said, mercy sweetens all God's other attributes. When the water was bitter and Israel could not drink, Moses cast a tree into the waters, and then they were made sweet. How bitter and dreadful were the other attributes of God. Did not mercy sweeten them? Mercy set God's power at work to help us. It makes his justice become our friend. It shall avenge our quarrels. The very fact that God permits us to live at all speaks of his mercy. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, it is because of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They were new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. No matter how what your situation is, God's mercy is more than sufficient for you. It is great above the heavens, according to Psalm 108, verse 4. So be encouraged and look to him always. Praise God for his great mercy, for the angel, every morning. For by it you have received eternal life and an eternal inheritance. The mercies of God makes the heart thankful. I'll repeat that. The mercies of God makes the heart thankful. Even when the psalmist says, will allow us to realize this truth, in Psalm 116, verse 12 and 13, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation. David alludes to the people of Israel, who at their peace offering used to take a cup in their hands and give thanks to God for deliverances he has undertaken in their behalf. Every mercy is an arm of free grace, and this enlarges the soul in gratitude. Does it enlarge our heart in gratitude for great mercy that are new every morning? A good Christian is not a grave to bury God's mercies, but a temple to sing his praises. Praise God for the Psalms that speak about this, and that enlarges our soul in gratitude. And most of the Psalms sing about God's grace and mercy. To voice out their gratitude for his never-failing mercy and grace. And another thought that should encourage us and deepen our appreciation for our great inheritance is the victory over present circumstances, which comes when we focus our thoughts on our eternal inheritance and praise God for it. Well, it is a sad experience that many Christians, including ourselves, when we are faced with great difficulties, trials and pain, and which are never ending, they come day after day. And perhaps after one day or 2 days or a week, they may seem to disappear, but it comes back. But do we see that God's purposes on them? Perhaps we do not thought of this great inheritance that we have, our great salvation that is so rich and free, that demands our life, our soul, and our all. We must thank God for His mercy and grace on a daily basis. One amazing privilege that we have as a Christian is to be the beneficiary of a rich and exciting spiritual inheritance. Jesus Christ gave us a glimpse of it, of its magnitude, when He said in Matthew 25, verse 34, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" That is how great the inheritance that the Lord Jesus Christ is welcoming us when He bring us to His glory on that final day. "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." This inheritance is shared by every child of God. In Hebrews 9:15, it says that Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, in order that those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Jesus commissioned Paul to preach to the Gentiles so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in Him. That is Acts 28, verse 18. No one can fully understand all that God has prepared for those who love Him, according to 2 Corinthians 2:9. However, consequently, at times you might forget you're a child of the King because of the difficulties and trials and tribulations that we face. We often forget that we are a child of the King and begin to act like this world, and as if this world is all we have to live for. We work hard for it. We long for the things of this world, as if it's the last inheritance that we are longing for. And yet there's none of these things in this world that we will carry when we die. The Word of God, the Word of our Lord Jesus Christ, is true. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but suffers the loss of his own soul? God may even have to discipline us from time to time to correct our behavior when we fail to recognize our great inheritance in Christ. But someday, it is our comfort that God will let us be and will know the full glory of His inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be a tiny speck that we know at the moment, but that great inheritance should enlarge and deepen our preparation in heaven. That's why Matthew 6, 19 to 21, that let us not gather inheritance that will only rust and destroyed by moth. Let us focus in getting more inheritance. We have that great inheritance already, but we must use it and live according to it. Day by day. That we may not be a loving stuff to the world, but the world will see that we are tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. We are being contented because this great inheritance satisfies every area of our lives, and yet sometimes in sadness we fail to recognize and live according to our great inheritance. Remember, we have been chosen by God. We did not choose Christ. God has chosen us in Christ to give us this great eternal inheritance. Do we believe that? Do we truly believe it in our heart? Do we live it and show to the world that our great inheritance is greater than the inheritance that this world offers to us? Let us focus. In the meantime, let us be diligent to set our minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, according to Colossians 3:2. Let us focus on our inheritance and praise God for it. I think that is our common failure and sin. We don't thank God for our great inheritance enough. It is only, we can actually observe it in our prayer. We all thank God for many, many other minor things of life. But we sometimes focus our great thanks for the great inheritance of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we focus on Christ, our great inheritance, that will help us beyond our present circumstances to the glory that awaits us when Jesus Christ called us home. Let us practice living according to our great inheritance. Paul set us an example. I remain contented. I always find myself contented in whatever situation I find myself in. That is, living according to his inheritance in Christ. And lastly, God has blessed us richly and is worthy of our praise. The source of your eternal inheritance is God himself, whom Peter described in several ways. First, in verse 3, he is our blessed God. Look at that verse in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That word blessed is referring to the great inheritance we have. The Greek word for that word is translated bless in that verse. It speaks of that which is worthy of blessing, worthy of adoration and praise and worship. So Peter's praise for God is an example for us to follow. That's why if you read again and again that verse, he praised God, he blessed God for that great inheritance that never faded away. So we must follow Peter's example. Our God is especially worthy of our praise in the light of that glorious inheritance he has granted us in his Son. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Yet the sad thing is that we have that great inheritance, and yet we look so sad, as if we are hopeless, when we are faced with the things and business of this world. The flesh, the old flesh, longs to have more. And yet, does it really satisfy at the end of the day? Let's examine ourselves. How we are deepening our thanks and praise as a beneficiary of this great and exciting spiritual inheritance. Jesus, our Lord, gave us a glimpse of this, as I already mentioned. And Peter prays for this. He prays God for us to be an example in thanking Him for this blessed, great inheritance, spiritual inheritance that never faded away. Our God is especially worthy of our praise in the light of that glorious inheritance. That word, Lord, in verse 3, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word, Lord, speaks of His sovereign rule in our lives. The sovereignty of God's rule in our lives. Jesus is His name, as God in the human flesh, which is also His name is Emmanuel, God is with us. And Christ identifies Him as the Messiah, the anointed King. Peter's description of Christ is seen in that pronoun in verse 3 again, our Lord. That pronoun, our, is our Lord Jesus Christ, a personal Lord and Savior. Not some distant impersonal deity. He possessed that deity, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and Himself as the Son of God. He created and redeemed each one of us because He loves us and wants to be intimately involved in every aspect of our lives. In conclusion, what a glorious God we serve. Let us worship Him tonight. Let's continue to worship Him tonight as He deserves to be worshipped. In our prayer, individual prayer, let us bless God, who is our Father, our Redeemer, our constant companion, and the source of eternal inheritance. Amen.
Amen.
Let us sing our last hymn, 159, in our redemption hymnal. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ I have. Oh, what a Christ have I. 159.
Okay, is everyone ready?
Yeah, everyone ready?
Stand up.
Let's rise up, please.
Go straight in. One, two, three.
Praise your eyes, my God, but sing for joy. Sing I must, for Christ I have. Oh, what a Christ have I. Sing I must, for Christ. Christ I have. Oh, what a Christ have I, and sing I must, for Christ I have. Oh, what a Christ have I. My Christ He is, the Lord of lords, the sovereign King of kings, Prince and Son of righteousness, with Thee in His wings, Prince and Son of righteousness, with Thee in His wings, Prince and Son of righteousness, with Thee in His wings. My Christ is the tree of life, and is God's hidden rose. Living here as Christ's ring, whence life forever flows. Living here as Christ's ring, whence life forever flows. The living here as crystal streams, whence life forever flows. Christ is my meat, Christ is my drink, my medicine, my health, my portion, mine inheritance. Yea, all my godless wealth, my portion, mine inheritance. Yea, all my godless wealth,
inheritance. Let us pray. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, even to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you for this great inheritance that never perish, that is not even subject to destruction or rusting, but it is forever. Please accept our praise and thanksgiving. Help us in our time of need, that we must remind ourselves how rich we are because of this great inheritance that was paid for a great price through the precious blood of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you save us and love us and gave us compassionate to the uttermost, compassionate love, we want to say, Lord, now unto Him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Amen.